Chapter 16. Death's deserved, death's undeserved. The three drow warriors raced around a corner, hand crossbows drawn. Up went the weapons, and two let fly at the same time that the third drow yelled for them to hold, seeing a figure coming their way. That lone figure executed a brilliant and swift dance, spinning about, his powafwi cloak flying wide to harmlessly catch the quarrels. He came out of that spin in a leaping charge at the trio, boldly, one against three. Out came four swords from the two in front to meet him, while the third, still back a few steps, yelled, "No! No, Zakdafane!" The two in front stabbed their nearest blades in unison, each sweeping across with the other in perfect harmony, a tremendous and practiced defense that would have killed or at least halted almost any drow warrior. Their opponent did not fit that description. He slid down low to his knees, engaging their thrusts with uplifting blades that brought those two swords up high enough to intercept their slashes. And up the attacker popped to his feet, his blades angling perfectly, each coming to a stop with its tip under the chin of its respective target, drawing blood, lifting the drow to their toes. "Your weapons on the ground or your blood on the ground," the attacker said. "I care not which." Four swords clanged to the stone. "Idiots," said the drow behind them, the noble second boy of House Doerden. Then to the attacker he added, "Are you quite done with your play, Weapon Master?" Zakdafane stared at Deneen from between the two trapped soldiers. With an amused grin, he turned his wrists, sending the pair staggering backward, extending the superficial wounds, and as he let them disengage, he held out the side of his powafwi, showing the hanging darts. "You might have just stopped down the hall," Deneen Doerden said dryly.
"I do not live my life on uncertainties like might have," Zakdafane replied.
"You did not recognize us?"
"Oh, of course I did. That doesn't mean I trust you."
Deneen blew a sigh. "The house is almost clear," he said to change the subject. The four Doerdens and a host of others had come into House Ben Zarafez, a weak house whose high ranking was based on inertia from its long-ago glory days, along with the way its matron had wisely sidestepped any ascending houses who desired to pass her by. That desperate situation had come to an end when the same matron, Decleese Ben Zarafez, had secretly plotted to hire on a host of mercenaries, a pitiful attempt to try to sneak some true power back into her overranked house. The fallout had been swift and severe, leaving House Ben Zarafez without its mercenaries, and with its external spy networks destroyed, leaving House Ben Zarafez an easy target for Matron Malice. Perhaps a war had not been necessary, since Matron Decleese, wounded as she was, would have certainly allowed House Doerden to step above her house in rank. But this had apparently proven too tempting an opportunity for Malice to show her power for her to accept any such agreement. Besides, she had told the Doerden attack force this would be good training for the certain wars against more imposing houses, like House de Vere, coming up in short order. Here they were then, sweeping through the middle levels of the central and largest stalagmite of the three mounds that comprised the main structures of House Ben Zarafez, finding minimal resistance and rolling over it with not a single loss of a Doerden soldier yet reported.
"The house was almost clear before we came into it," Zakdafane quipped in reply, and truly, he expected that they would have found more resistance if they had attacked the oozing Myconid than they had encountered here.
"We are nearly to Matron Decleese's chamber," said Deneen. Zakdafane hardly heard him, as he was focusing on the warrior to his right, who held his hand up to his throat to stem the bleeding, and glared at Zakdafane with open contempt.
"Well, strike then if you wish," Zakdafane said to the man.
The look of hatred turned to one of fear.
"Weapon Master, no, of course not,"
the warrior said, falling back a step and holding his hands up submissively.
"If you ever deign to look at me again in that manner, then strike and strike to kill," Zakdafane warned him. "Because if you don't kill me, I will kill you."
The terrified soldier seemed as if he would simply topple over.
When Zach Nafane looked back to Deneen, he found the young noble staring at him incredulously, shocked even. So was the other soldier farther to the left. When he thought about it, Zach Nafane understood the surprise, for his words to the poor soldier had been quite harsh and extreme, no doubt. Uncharacteristically so. But so be it, he decided. This unpleasant business had left a most foul taste in his mouth. Matron Decleese has been severely weakened, he told Deneen. Her defenses will be minimal, no doubt. He wanted to tell Deneen to take his two soldiers and go get her, and he almost did so. But the thought of Matron Malice's reaction to such a thing was not a pleasant one. She didn't want her young son going into battle against any house matron, of course. She had tasked Zach Nafane with that role specifically. That was part of the reason she had paid so dearly to bring him into her house. And that was also the message she wanted to filter out into the streets after events such as this, to build the reputation of Zach Nafane and thus build the status of House Doerden. Zach Nafane certainly didn't mind the task either. Killing priestesses of Lolth remained one of his few joys in life. But alas, he knew that Matron Decleese wouldn't be alone. "Follow on a count of 200," he told Deneen, and he moved back down the hallway to the stairs that would bring him to the highest level of the hollowed-out stalagmite mound. He had already discerned and disarmed the two traps on the curving staircase, so now Zach Nafane sprinted up, taking three steps at a time. He came to a landing set with a heavy door. He brought the monocle Matron Malice had given him up to his eye and carefully scrutinized the edges and the lock. Finding no trap, he lifted his hand and whispered a command word into an onyx ring. He heard the tumblers clicking, but the door did not open. Zach Nafane shook his head and snorted, thinking that Matron Decleese was just delaying the inevitable. Into the ring he uttered a different command, this time sending forth a wave of dispelling energy to defeat the magical hold on the portal. Then he issued the first command again, expending the last of the three spells Malice had put into this ring, another Dwyamer to open portals. This time the door flew open, revealing a curving hallway. Zach Nafane didn't hesitate. Sprinting along, he went up on the wall around the bend, coming back down to the floor with a spinning and tumbling maneuver that had him flinging himself onward, straight at the two guards standing before the matron's chambers. He could see the fear on their faces, could see the hesitation as they lifted their swords in what they knew would be the last moments of their lives. For even if they defeated this invader, they understood that a host was following close behind. Zach Nafane darted left to fully engage the one on that side, throwing his right sword back the other way to pick off a thrust by the other. The guard before him used a thrust and slash combination that he easily blocked, ducked, then blocked again. And on that interception of the second thrust, Zach Nafane turned his blade over that of the Ben Zarafez soldier, then up and over again and around a third time, each circling move twisting the soldier's arm a bit more as the overmatched drow tried desperately to disengage. For the blade of Zach Nafane moved too quickly for that guard to pace it, and so, predictably, the soldier tried to simply back away. But Zach Nafane's right hand picked off another stab from the other soldier, went up to intercept and defeat a downward slash, and whipped across underneath that blade to send the man falling away to the wall, leaving the weapon master free to advance in concert with the first soldier's retreat. The man was against the matron's door then, and out of room to continue his retreat. He tried to maneuver as Zach Nafane bore in with sudden ferocity. But Zach Nafane had him cornered, and every movement of that guard's sword was met with a ringing rebuttal. Zach Nafane pounded him relentlessly, numbing his arms under the weight of his blows. In those first furious instants, the weapon master saw at least three opportunities to slip a blade past the awkward and desperate defenses and kill the Ben Zarafez soldier, but he didn't take them. Out from the wall came the other soldier, swords leading. Zach Nafane noted his every move. Down and across went the weapon master, to his knees and turning underneath the stabbing swords of the guard to the right. This one, too, he could have gutted, but no. Instead, he came up inside the man's reach and still turning, going right around to come out of the spin by driving his pommel hard into the poor guard's face, snapping the man's head to the side. Over he tumbled, face down to the floor. Zacnafane was back the other way before the unconscious man hit the stone. His blades worked in a blur, picking off every thrust and cut, and indeed, hitting the man's swords two or three times for every parry, overwhelming him with sheer speed. The poor guard just threw his swords aside, and his hands up high, he fell to his knees, begging for mercy. Zacnafane gave him what he wanted, of a sort. He kicked him in the face, knocking his head back against the wall, and he too slumped down. He wasn't unconscious like his companion, but neither was he about to get up any time soon. Zacnafane kicked in the door. This was the throne room of the house, the inner sanctum, the place of House Ben Zarafez's greatest power. Yet so depleted was the house that there sat Matron Decles, alone and clearly frightened. She was not surrounded by other priestesses or nobles of the house, it was just her. And she made no move to strike at him with spells or her snake-headed scourge, which lay lifeless on the table before her. Zacnafane glanced out to the sides and behind, ensuring that the two guards were not about to jump into the fight any time soon. Satisfied that they were finished, he moved cautiously into the room to the table opposite the matron. "You are that Zacnafane creature, no doubt," she said. He didn't answer, moving cautiously, looking all about for traps or hidden doors, trying to sense other people in the room who might be waiting invisibly for him to let down his guard. "Long ago I could have petitioned the ruling council to strip my house of its rank," Matron Decles said, and she gave a resigned shrug when Zacnafane focused again on her. "Every ascendant house learned the truth easily enough after all."
"What truth is that, Matron?"
"That House Ben Zarafez is little more than an illusion."
"And thus you simply allowed them to pass above you, accepting the demotion?"
She nodded. "I knew it was only a matter of time before one too desirous of a victory would deny the ruse and put an end to House Ben Zarafez. I even came to predict that it would be Matron Malice. That one is ever hungry from all that I have learned of her." Zacnafane kept his expression impassive. He wasn't about to give away anything here.
"Where are your children, Matron Decles?" he asked.
"There are only two."
"I know. Why are they not with you?"
"I removed them from the house. I took away their surname."
She offered a pathetic little shrug, but one that touched Zacnafane. She cared enough about her children to remove them to safety. Such actions were hardly commonplace in Menzo Berenzon.
"And your priestesses?"
"None remain. There is only me."
"You expect me to believe that?"
she chortled.
"I expect you to kill me. That is why you are here, yes?"
"Take up your weapon, gather your spells."
The matron stood up and glanced at her scourge, but left it lying on the table as she stepped away from her seat. Zacnafane's thoughts swirled here. He considered Dabney. Might Jarlaxle be interested in gathering up another priestess, and perhaps a few soldiers as well?
"Raise your swords, weapon master," Matron Decles told him.
"You ask for a merciful death?"
She laughed at him harshly, mockingly.
"It is time for me to go to Lady Loth," she said, and Zacnafane found his sympathy fast flying. "It is a journey I eagerly accept. If you wish to torture before the killing blow, then do your worst, filthy male. The Spider Queen favors me. I have prayed."
"Then why is your house so pathetic and falling?"
"Loth appreciates how long beyond our time House Ben Zarafez has managed to survive," the matron explained. "She appreciates my cunning. She has told me this through her handmaidens."
"Such devotion," Zacnafane replied sarcastically.
"Is there any other purpose?"
"Yet you removed your children," the weapon master countered, in an effort to dissolve her ridiculous claims.
But Matron Decles laughed at him all the louder.
"I gave them to Lolth, idiot," she said.
That was the last word Matron Decles Ben Zarafez would ever utter, for before another could leave her mouth, before she could even gasp in surprise, Zacnafane was there right before her, his sword expertly taking out her throat. He stared at that bloody sword when the woman crumpled to the floor before him. She hadn't even enacted any defensive spells. The cut had been so easy. He shook his head, trying to make sense of all this. What God would expect such things from devout followers? What God would ask for the sacrifice of the children? And Zacnaphane knew that Matron de Cleese's son was only a decade old. Sounds from the hall spun him around to find that horrible witch Breeza playing with the two guards he had downed. She had one up against the wall, the poor man trying to cover himself as her scourge, its barbs a pair of living, venomous snakes, hissed and bit at him. The other guard kept trying to rise, but Breeza kicked and laughed at him, stomping him flat to the floor. The rest of the house was almost certainly cleared by then, Zacnaphane knew, and he knew too that Breeza would torture these two through the night. And then she would kill them. There would be no reprieve for any of House Ben Zarafez, no bartering for slavery, no selling them to Jarlaxle for breaking the earth. In the name of Lolf, none of House Ben Zarafez would survive this night. That was the rule in Menzo Baranzon for a house going to war against another. There could be no witnesses, because no witnesses meant there had been no war in the first place. But neither could Zacnaphane stomach the taunting serpents of Priestess Breeza. The poor victim's wails of agony assaulted the weapon master's heart. His own misplaced sense of mercy toward the two had precipitated this predictable situation. Zacnaphane moved to the doorway. Matron de Cleese is not quite dead, I believe, he said to Breeza. Her red eyes sparkled, and she verily ran past him, eager to claim the greatest prize of all. No sooner had she stepped into the room than Zacnaphane took her place in the hall. He stared at the three priestesses who had accompanied Breeza, warning them back with his scowl, then put his swords to sudden and violent work with expert precision, ending the torment of the doomed Ben Zarafez guards. The priestesses gasped, one yelped, and behind him in the room, Breeza spun about to glare at him, offering an almost feral growl. Zacnaphane turned slowly and matched that stare, unblinking. Breeza swung back around and leaped ahead, guessing his ploy, he knew. The pool of blood had widened around the body of Matron de Cleese, with a woman quite obviously dead before Breeza had gone to her. The first priestess of House Doerden stormed back to the door, scourge in hand. She is dead, she stated. Ah, I thought she had a bit of life left, Zacnaphane replied with a purposely unconvincing shrug. Breeza stared at him hard, then glanced to the guard slumped against the wall, then to the one on the floor, both gone from this life. You play dangerous games, weapon master, she whispered, as if she believed that lowering her voice would somehow unnerve the man. Zacnaphane tried not to smile. In that moment of outrage, he hoped she would make a move at him, and resolved that if she did, he'd kill her and be done with it, then kill the three priestesses of her entourage for good measure. Because they did this, all of them. All of the priestesses who listened to the murderous call of the Spider Queen, that most horrible goddess. The house guards hadn't deserved death, let alone torture. This was not a war. No, it was murder, and now he was a murderer, a killer fighting for no noble cause, no higher purpose, and not out of necessity to protect himself or any loved one. Zacnaphane had trained for all of his life to be a warrior, a great warrior. He didn't feel like one in that dark moment. 2 hours later, Zacnaphane sat at his table at the Oozing Myconid, cradling a very potent drink. He knew that he would be punished by Malice when he returned to House Doerden, something he should have done immediately after House Ben Zarafez was declared dead by Breeza. So be it. He needed the reprieve offered by this place, a filthy little tavern with terrible food and worse liquor, but one outside the rules of the wicked matrons and their horrid goddess. Upon arriving, though, he found his relief short-lived, as he was met by word of the impending return of a particular agent of Bregan d'Earth. He lingered longer than he had intended, into the early morning hours, when finally Jarlaxle entered the tavern. "Matron Malice will be pleased," the mercenary leader said, taking a seat opposite Zacnaphane. "I heard that your victory was without cost." Zacnaphane could hardly agree with that sentiment, but he didn't bother replying. "Why are you here?" Jarlaxle pressed. "Won't she wish to secure her house fully, fearing some retribution after such a raid?"
Zaknafane lifted his glass in a toast.
"Here's hoping that the whole lot of them gets murdered," he said, and he gulped down the contents.
Jarlaxle's expression reflected sincere concern, but still Zaknafane thought it might be grand to punch him right then.
"What?"
the mercenary leader asked.
"You brought him back."
"Who?" Zaknafane's expression hardened.
"Yes," Jarlaxle admitted with a shrug. "And I cannot kill him, I suppose."
"I would greatly prefer that you do not. The coin to repurchase Duvan Trayrock was not insubstantial. Matron Beerton Fay drove a ferocious bargain."
"Then why didn't you let her keep the fool?"
"She was done with him, and I feared she would sacrifice him to Lolf, and that, I believe, would be a waste. He is not without talent," Zaknafane snorted. "He gave you a finer fight than even you expected, admit it, my friend."
"In Menzo Berenzon, the second-best swordsman is usually as dead as the worst of the bunch," Zaknafane dryly replied.
"I did not wish to see him dead," Jarlaxle admitted.
"So you bring him back that he will try to kill me?"
"He will not," Jarlaxle insisted.
"Ah, yes, Jarlaxle of Bregendierf, so sure of himself, the puller of strings."
He waved for another drink, then turned back to lock stairs with Jarlaxle.
"Until a puppet's dance goes awry, and then there is blood."
"Duvan will not seek revenge," Jarlaxle reiterated.
"If he does, your money will be wasted, do not doubt."
"I do not." Zaknafane laughed, and it wasn't meant to comfort the man sitting across from him. "And what have you, then?" Jarlaxle asked.
"I would have you pay for my drinks this night."
"Indeed, and fair enough. But what of you, Zaknafane?" he repeated.
"What of me?"
"Duvan returns. Perhaps it is Zaknafane who will seek to finish that which Duvan started on that long-ago day."
"Not so long ago. Zaknafane?"
The conversation paused as Harbendare moved between the two, placing a glass before each and offering a quick and less than friendly look at Zaknafane as he did.
"I will not kill Duvan," Zaknafane promised, and Jarlaxle lifted his glass to toast to that.
But Zaknafane wasn't finished.
"The other one will satisfy me," he added.
The unexpected request put a blank stare on Jarlaxle's face, and he slowly lowered his glass.
"Other one?"
Zaknafane glanced over his shoulder at the man walking away from them, the barkeep who had tried to poison him that night when Duvan had attacked.
"Harbendare?" "Harbendare Trayrock," Zaknafane reminded him.
"He is a good barkeep."
"When he isn't trying to poison his patrons, you mean. Besides, how hard is it to serve this swill?"
"Yet you trust him enough that you come in here and drink that which he placed before you," Jarlaxle reasoned.
"Because he is afraid of me and has no support should he anger me. That will change when Duvan returns, perhaps."
"No, it will not. I will not."
"I gave you a choice," Zaknafane interrupted and lifted his glass to his lips. After a small sip, he stated flatly, "You choose or I will, or perhaps I'll just take both."
"You forget your place in Bregendierth."
"I forget nothing. You owe me this."
Jarlaxle glanced from Zaknafane to Harbendare and back again. He shook his head, then blew a heavy sigh, tremendous disappointment clear upon his face. "It still seems a waste."
"With House Ben Zarafez defeated, Matron Melis will lie low, and so you will find me at your side more often."
"If I grant you this, you will need to learn how to properly prepare drinks," Jarlaxle warned. Zaknafane offered no smile at the poor attempt at a joke. "Do not kill Duvan," Jarlaxle flatly ordered, and he rose and left abruptly. Zaknafane nodded as he watched the door close behind the departing mercenary leader. Then he went back to his drink, which he knew was not poisoned. He remained in the oozing myconid throughout the night, sitting, just sitting, with his back against a wall. When all the patrons had departed, he focused his gaze upon Harbendaire, who was clearly growing increasingly uncomfortable.
"Would you like another drink?"
"No."
"Some food, perhaps?"
"No."
"The morning has come," Harbendaire said. "I must take my leave."
"Who is stopping you?"
"Well, I am to look."
"You know who I am. You know who I, who we serve."
"Yes, but take your leave."
The man moved deliberately, his gaze never leaving the seated Zacnaphane until he was through the door. Zacnaphane lifted and drained his glass, the same one he had been sipping with Jarlaxle hours before. He rose and threw on his puafwi, then moved to the door. A glance left, a glance right, and off he sprinted, up the side of a stalagmite mound, leaping, spinning, somersaulting, to hit the ground in perfect balance and at a full run. At the next bend in the lane, he went up the side of another mound, then backflipped off of it, turning as he soared to land on the roof of a lower structure. Three running strides took him across to a parallel road, and there, without even looking, he leaped and twisted again, dropping lightly to the street, facing back in the direction of the oozing myconid. Facing Harbendaire.
"Draw your weapons," Zacnaphane told him.
Out came Zacnaphane's swords.
"Now, or I will take my time with your flesh."
Harbendaire drew out his sword and a long dirk with unsteady hands.
"I wish no fight with you," he said.
"Truly?" Zacnaphane taunted, and he held his swords out wide to either side. As he expected, Harbendaire took the bait and charged ahead. He stabbed hard and with surprising accuracy. But Zacnaphane seemed to somehow melt away, falling to the side, supported strangely by one turned leg. He came out of the bend with a hop and a somersault, landing facing the man in a low crouch, from which he exploded up and forward, his left-hand blade working furiously in a slap-and-roll movement to take the sword from Harbendaire's grasp and send it flying, his right-hand blade coming under the man's dirk arm and lifting it up high. Zacnaphane turned under it, dropped his right-hand blade, and slapped his free hand over Harbendaire's fist. With tremendous strength, the weapon master bent the barkeep's hand at the wrist, turning it down painfully, so painfully that the dirk fell free. And in that instant, Zacnaphane jerked the man's arm up higher, rolled back underneath it, and came face to face with the horrified barkeep, his sword coming in across Harbendaire's neck, pinching the tender flesh. With that blade in his free arm, Zacnaphane guided the man across the road to slam hard against the side of a building.
"Please, please," Harbendaire gasped.
"Do not beg," Zacnaphane told him. Harbendaire closed his eyes.
"You poisoned me that night when Duvon first returned to the tavern," Zacnaphane said.
Harbendaire's eyes popped open wide.
"No, no."
"Admit it," Zacnaphane said calmly, too calmly. And the barkeep began to slump and would have fallen over if Zacnaphane had not been holding him so tightly. Harbendaire was fighting back tears, Zacnaphane knew. He stared at Zacnaphane, trying to slightly shake his head, but carefully, so that his own movements didn't do the sword's work.
"I am a patient man," Zacnaphane whispered. "I did," Harbendaire blurted. "Just to slow you, I feared for Du."
Zacnaphane pulled him from the wall and slammed him back against it hard.
"You poisoned me again this night," he said.
"No," the barkeep gasped.
"Why not? Would it not have served your purpose to simply kill me? Or did you fear that you could not?" "I would not. I have no call," the man sputtered.
"I killed two men who did not deserve to die this night," Zacnaphane explained, his voice going suddenly somber, and truly, it pained the weapon master to even speak of it. "And so..." He stepped back, retracting his sword as he let go of Harbendaire.
"They didn't deserve it, but you do," Zacnaphane said.
Harbendaire just stared, frozen by uncertainty. Zacnaphane shook his head.
"But no, I cannot bring them back. For you, then, I grant reprieve, and I'll not ever threaten you again, barkeep, unless you force my hand.
Harbendaire didn't move, didn't even appear to be breathing, and clearly did not trust anything he heard. But Zacnaphane simply bent over and retrieved his dropped sword, then slid it and the other into their scabbards.
Farewell, Harbendaire Trayrock, he said, and he walked away.
The ghosts of the dead Ben Zarafezes followed him through the mostly deserted streets of Menzo Baranzon. Soon behind him, the light of Narbondale just began to hint of the coming day, while before him loomed the city's west wall and the compound of House Dermon na Shesbernon, House Doerden. As he walked those last steps to the lair of Matron Malice, he considered the difference between Jarlaxle and the others, between Bregan d'Aerth and those who followed the edicts of evil Loth. He remembered the fateful battle with House Trayrock that century before. He had tried to keep as many of the invaders alive as he could. Harbendaire had been one of them. This time, though, and in all these new battles in which Zacnaphane found himself, he could not hope to offer mercy. To do so would leave witnesses of the aggression of Matron Malice. In their adventures at removing rivals and houses above them in rank, House Doerden could take no prisoners. Zacnaphane had never felt so trapped by the misery of Lolth. Perhaps, he thought, that was why he had not killed Harbendaire this night. Maybe he just needed to show mercy to someone, anyone, and know that there wasn't someone directly behind him who would spoil that clemency. Even if that meant sparing someone who had once tried to kill him.